Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello, and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We'll move on in our study to some of the verses of Quran chapter 13, where we learn about some of the doctrines of belief in Islam concerning how Allah will work in the life of the people, and also one of the great miracles of the Quran concerning the thunder, the lightning, and the worship in Islam. So let's begin our study by reading together that which is written in Quran chapter 13 and verse 11, wherein it will learn about God helps those who help themselves. That is the expression of the people who do not know the true nature of God and the doctrine of God about changing people's lives. So without further ado, here it is, the word of Allah in Quran chapter 13 and verse 11. To him shifts, that is the angels, from between his hands and from behind him. They keep him from the command of Allah. Surely Allah will not change what is in a people until they change what is in themselves. And if Allah wants evil for people, so there is none to avert it, and they do not have a friend other than him. It's a long verse full of many contradictions, but quickly I'd like to share with you that portion which we read, surely Allah will not change what is in a people until they change what is in themselves. Which, by the way, contradicts the following sentence, which Allah stated, if Allah wants evil for people, so there is none to avert it. So, if people are living in sin, they could not do anything about changing their sin because that is, I believe, the greatest evil anyone will be falling in. And if Allah wants evil to be in a people, people cannot avert it, meaning they cannot change it. But on the other hand, Allah is assuring us that He will not change what in a people until people change themselves. Can't you see the contradiction here? If Allah chooses for me to be blessed, I will be blessed. If Allah chooses for me to be in a miserable life, I will be miserable. And there is nothing I can do to change it. But on the other hand, Allah will not change what is in me until I change what is in me. So which part of the verse is accurate? Do I have the power to change what's in me so Allah can change me? Or whatever Allah chooses for me, it is exactly what I will have. And there is nothing I can do about changing it. This is what Muslims do not realize by the simplest reading to the verses of the Quran. Why is that? Because they completely believe that you don't question the word of Allah. Whatever is written there is true. And if it is true, why do I use my brain? Why will I use my common sense to figure out if what I'm reading makes sense or not? Because it is true. If it is logic or not, if it makes sense or not, if it contradicts other places in the Quran, it is just simply because I don't know it. It's not because I have any understanding to the word of Allah, because Allah is Allah and human are human. Which, by the way, goes against so many other doctrines in Islam. You see, even as we shared with you previously, that the future of the baby, before the baby become a living creature inside the mother's womb, was already predetermined by Allah. So how can I change anything in me if everything will happen in my life already written, prescribed by the angel of the womb inside the mother's womb before I even have a spirit in me? That is, obviously, according to Muhammad and Muslim scholars at the age of 120 days old. But on the other hand, Allah here is telling us that Allah will not change what's in me until I change myself. Well, if it is already ordained by Allah for me to be in whatever situation or circumstance, and Allah will not change it until I change it, but that is exactly what Allah prescribed for me. Therefore, it is a hopeless situation. There is nothing a Muslim man or a woman can do except to submit to the will of Allah, because this is the reality. Or you may think that there is contradiction in the Quran and the ideology of Islam, and in that case, maybe Muslim will have to acknowledge that the Quran cannot be the word of God and the teachings of the Quran cannot be true, simply because we do not know which way should we go. Surprise, surprise. Even though Muslims know that that is the reality, that there is nothing they can do to change their circumstances, but they still believe in the night of faith. And what is a night of faith? That is a night where Muslim will be up all night long during the month of Ramadan. And amazingly, Muslim scholars disagree which night of the 30 nights of the month of Ramadan is the night of faith. And that is where Muslims pray to Allah all night long. And they know if it was that night where they were praying, all their prayers will be answered. Which means they can actually change what is in them by simply spending all night long on their knee praying to Allah, oh Allah, give me this or do that to me. And that's when Allah will change their faith. Which means, really, there's nothing I can do about changing my faith except just simply to pray. Because how can I change it if Allah did not ordain it to be changed? I hope this portion of our study to Quran chapter 13 verse 11 confuse the daylight out of you, because in reality that is the facts about almost all the doctrines and beliefs in Islam. If you investigate it deeply, you get lost, because then you find out the unbelievable contradictions all over Islam. Now let's move on to another important teaching in Islam about nature. I'm talking about the cloud and the lightning and the great angel of the thunder. And that is what we read in verses 12 and 13. For Allah stated, He is who shows you the lightning, fearing and hoping, and brings up the heavy clouds. Yes, indeed, the lightning could be good news and the lightning could be bad news. If it is a bad storm and someone in the middle of the ocean in a boat, that is a fearing news. That is a terrible news. But if it is a heavy cloud and it is dark and it will bring the rain for those who live in the Saudi Arabia Peninsula, the land which does not have any rivers, well, guess what? That is good news. That is great hope. For rain comes and the blessing of the rain, which we read about throughout the Quran, that is actually one of the signs of Allah, one of the miracles of Allah, that rain come down from heaven, and by the rain, the earth will become green, and the vegetables will grow, and the fruit will grow on the tree, and then people can have abundance of life. But don't forget that that lightning could be bad news. Why? Because it also reminds the Muslims of some of the punishments of Allah through the lightning and how He wiped out people with such anger. So now let's look at the true understanding of the thunder, which is an angel worshiping Allah, which, by the way, where the name of Quran chapter 13 comes from, the thunder. And that is what we read in verse 13, where Allah stated, and the thunder praises with His praise, and the angels for fear of Him, and He sends His thunderbolts, so He smites with it whom He wills while they dispute concerning Allah, and He is severe in prowess. In his interpretation, the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari stated that whenever Muhammad heard the sound of the thunder, he used to have a special prayer which he lifted up to Allah. In it, he said, O Allah, do not kill us with your wrath, and do not destroy us with your punishment, and spare us before that. And that's why, obviously, Muslim until today, those who follow the Sunnah of Muhammad repeat the same prayer. Whenever they see some lightning or hear the thunder, they repeat the prayer of Muhammad.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Now, what Al-Tirmidhi, the great Muslim scholar, stated about what Ar-Razi told us concerning that verse. Listen to the wisdom of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, who said, as Ibn Abbas narrated to us, that some Jewish people came to Muhammad and said to him, "Tell us about the thunder. What is it?" He said, "It is an angel from the angels who is in charge of the clouds." You have to understand that nothing happened in this world except there's an angel was put by Allah to be in charge of. So even as he sees the cloud move from one place to another place, well, guess what? It is Allah appoint that job for that angel, which is the thunder. And he is the one who moves the cloud from one part of this world to another part. And how he does that? He does it with his whips of fire. That is the wisdom of Prophet Muhammad, which he drives them, means the cloud, wherever Allah wills. So if Allah wants some state here in America to be covered with clouds and rain, that is exactly what will happen. If Allah does not want any rain to come in your neighborhood, the angel of the thunder will remove the clouds from your area. Therefore, you will never have any rain. Listen to that. As these wonderful Muslim believers, people with great logic and common sense, these are the best of the Muslims. They continue to ask Muhammad one more question. And what was the new question? It is, what is the sound that is heard? Now listen to the wisdom of Prophet Muhammad, who stated, "It is the rebuking of the clouds until they end where they are commanded." Then all these wonderful Muslim people show the submission to the Prophet of Allah and the accepting of his wisdom. When Ar-Razi continued to say, they said, "You have spoken the truth," as if what Muhammad just had said is the truth. God help us that Muslims do not even have any logical common sense. These are the early fathers of Muslims. Those are the one who accepted Muhammad to be the greatest prophet of all. Why is that? Because whatever Muhammad said is true. I mean, once again, who can argue with Muhammad and say, "You're not making any sense, Muhammad. What you're telling us is not true." No, if Muhammad said it, it's true, and they believe it, and that's how they were good Muslims. Believe it or not, from the days of Muhammad until today, Muslims, once again, do not question the word of Allah, do not question the teaching of Muhammad. They accept it for what it is. When in reality, any person who has some logic and some common sense will figure out that thunder is not an angel. Thunder is the sound which comes from the lightning, which is electrical collision between clouds and each other, or between clouds and the ground. There is no angel. It's called thunder, and the sound we hear has nothing to do with any whip that angel used to remove the clouds from one place to another. Anyone who will believe in the true science of such things will never believe that Muhammad is a true prophet. He was just making up stuff. And sadly, people in his days believed it. Yes, there are angels, and those angels truly worship the God of the Bible, as we read about them throughout the scripture. But not the angel of the cloud, and not the angels of Muhammad as he used his imagination. For angels do not fear God as we imagine how Muslims are fearing God, but they worship God in reverence, in love, not because they are afraid of him. And we as Christians as well worship God, not because we're afraid of him, because he is going to punish us very harshly, as Allah stated in the end of Quran chapter 13, verse 13, when Allah stated, and he is severe in prowess. But the angels and the true believers in God worship him because he is holy. That's why we read in the scripture, angels singing, holy, holy, holy. That is how Isaiah heard the angels worshiping God, as we read in Isaiah chapter 6. Let's move on to the following verse, that is Quran chapter 13 and verse 15, to see how the world worship Allah. For there we read, and to Allah worship all who are in the heavens and the earth, willingly and grudgingly, meaning hatefully, and their shadows also, morning and evening. Imagine with me that Allah, the God of Muhammad, accepts the worship of everyone. Those who believe in him, they worship willingly. Those infidels worship grudgingly, meaning against their will. If you want to worship Allah or not, you're going to worship Allah. Not only all the people worship Allah, but guess what? Even the shadow also worship Allah. As I looked at the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, I see that, here we go, Muslim scholars, they know, when you bend down, believe it or not, your shadow will bend down, and that is worship to Allah. Not realizing the true worship in our Christian faith, it is to the true God, who is spirit. For the scripture states, God is spirit, and those who worship him in spirit and truth. Not they willingly or unwillingly. If they hate it or they love it, they're going to worship God anyway, and their shadow will worship God anyway. No. We do not have that in the true Christian belief, or even in the Old Testament, in the Jewish belief. People worship God not because they hate to do it, but because they love to do it. And God is spirit, and we do not worship him with our shadow. No. We worship him with our heart. We worship him with our spirit. And that is the true worship as we see it throughout the pages of the Bible. You see, the Jewish people have a problem with the Samaritans about the place of worship. When Jesus met with the Samaritan woman, she actually started this great conversation with him about, where should we worship? You Jewish people worship in Jerusalem, but we the Samaritan worship in this mountain. And that was some conflict between the worship of the Jews and the worship of the Samaritan. Let me read to you what the Bible said in John 4, beginning from verse 20. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. But listen to the answer of our Lord and our Savior Jesus to her when he said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And listen, Muhammad did not learn from the Bible, nor the Muslim believers, as Muslims all over the world worshiping Allah, not once, but five times a day. asking him to lead them to the straight way. Imagine with me, Quran chapter 1 verse 5 is repeated by 1.7 billion Muslims all over the world. Guide us to the straight way. Guide us to the straight way. And not once we ever heard a Muslim believer ever say, "Oh Allah, thank you because you have guided me to the straight way. And now I am truly in worship of you." That's not what we ever hear a Muslim. Sadly, the answer for the prayer will never be known to them until we, the Christians, take the truth to them. Because that is what Jesus told the Samaritan woman. When we know the truth will set us free. And who is the truth but Jesus? Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You want to worship? You have to worship the Father, who is Spirit. You want to worship Him? You have to worship Him through Christ and Christ alone. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. And only through Jesus we can truly worship God. And that is what is missing from the worship of our dear Muslim friends. Once again, Quran 13:15 said, "And to Allah worship all who are in the heavens and the earth willingly and grudgingly, and their shadows also morning and evening." No, my dear friends, that verse ideologically is false. God does not force people to worship Him. God gives us the free will to accept to worship Him or to reject worshiping Him. No such a thing as people or any creature worship God against their own wishes. That's not acceptable worship by the true God of the Bible. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.